You are listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Please enjoy the worship music and message brought to you by Pastor Raph of our Sunday, May the 15th, Sunday service.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome this morning. And all those listening by radio, welcome to the service today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. Praise God. We're so thankful. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Dave Wedge, who's going to open the service for us this morning.
When you heard about Christ, you were taught in Him accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body, and in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Now I'll share a little story. A little girl walked to and from school daily. Though the weather that morning was questionable and the clouds were forming, she made her daily trek to the elementary school. As the afternoon progressed, the winds whipped up, along with thunder and lightning. The mother of the little girl felt concerned that her daughter would be frightened as she walked home from school, and she herself feared that the electrical storm might harm her child. Following the roar of thunder, lightning like a flaming sword would cut through the sky. Full of concern, the mother quickly got into her car and drove along the route to her child's school. As she did so, she saw her little girl walking along, but at each flash of lightning, the child would stop, look up, and smile. Another and another were to follow quickly, and with each, the little girl would look at the streak of lightning and smile. When the mother's car drove up beside the child, she lowered the window and called to her, "Why are you doing this? Why do you keep stopping?" The child answered, "I'm trying to look pretty. God keeps taking my picture." In Luke 18:16-17, "But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for another Sunday as we are here worshiping you with hundreds of millions of people across this world. We pray for churches and church bodies. We pray for you to use us in these days that we're in, Father. We pray for those that are in the middle of war-torn countries. We pray for those that are being persecuted in your name. We pray for those that are hungry and homeless, those that just don't know where to turn. We thank you for where we live and the abundance that we have around us, and put others in our path that we can help them out, Lord. We just want to be there and use us and guide us and direct us. Give us wisdom and discernment in these times. We pray for governments that know you and love people and want to do the best for the people. We pray, Lord, that you just make changes in this world all for the better. And we thank you for this body here, and we pray for each one of them. We all have our struggles, and we pray for those struggles to be be answered, Lord. And we pray for those that are sick and dealing with health issues. We pray for our pastor and Gina and Jessica who are away right now, and we just pray that you give them a good time of refreshing. And we pray for Pastor Raph as he preaches the word today. Just speak through him, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand together and praise our amazing God. Who is like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise, we will praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and who is like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars, to the Lord of hosts, we will praise Adonai. Rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Let's sing it one more time. Who is like him?
Who is like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne?
Mountains bow down.
Mountains bow down, and every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. So we will praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, praise, praise Adonai.
From the rising,
from the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Amen. Amen. He is worthy of praise.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, out of sight.
These are the days of Ezekiel.
These are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your well. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, year of jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation.
There's no God, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on the cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, the year of jubilee. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Yeah. Oh, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion till salvation comes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ah, he is coming. Hallelujah. He is coming. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you. We thank you so much that we have so much to thank you for. You are worthy of our praise. God, you have poured upon us blessing upon blessing upon blessing through Jesus Christ, through the relationship that you've given us, Lord. We just want to thank you. Thank you for being our King, for being our God, for calling us by name, calling us your sons and your daughters, priests of the Most High God. We worship you and bless you. Hallelujah. This might be a new song for you, but we'll sing it through twice, okay? I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burdens as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater. You deserve the greater glory. Child and as your
man. You deserve, because you deserve the greater glory. To the King in need of nothing, empty-handed I rejoice, 'cause you deserve the greater glory, overcome with joy I see. Holy. Start with verse 1 again, okay? I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good gracious King. I will give to you my burden as you give to me your strength. Yes, Lord, come and fill me with your Spirit. That's our prayer, oh God. As I sing to you this praise, 'cause you deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King. See you. what grace. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child. As your child and as your friend. Safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice, 'cause you deserve. generation. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. With selfless faith, see a near revival. I see a near revival. Oh, stirring as we pray, I see we're on our knees. We're on our knees.
I don't know about you, but the energies that are spent for the preparation of worship, we want to thank you for.
Praise yeah,
it's,
the Lord.
It's good.
The Lord.
A few announcements. We always need those, don't we? Keep us straight on the narrow. There's a tithe box at the back. If you have tithes or offerings that you'd like to place there, it's at the back. We'd appreciate that. Tuesday, 1 p.m., I just about had you coming in the morning, real early in the morning. 1 p.m., Women's Prayer and Share. On Wednesday at 7 in the evening, Bible study, 1 Peter chapter, not 4, but 5. I don't know who's leading that, but it's a short one, so you should be out quickly. Not necessarily. Yeah, Raph's leading it, I think, so it could be a couple hours, I'm not sure. Thursday morning, 9 a.m., morning prayer and coffee time here at the church. Saturday, there's men's prayer, 8 a.m., at Gary's shop. Really invite... Oh, we're not praying this year, this week.
This year?
Okay, so So there is no prayer. Guys, you can sleep in, I guess. Well, most of you do anyway, but that's all right. Take shots when I can. I don't get a chance all the time, so. Okay, Sunday, May 29th, fellowship after church. I think that's a first in a long time. I'm not real sure. Can anybody set me up on that? Yep. So it's a fellowship time after, light refreshments. That would be grand. I'll be kind of looking forward to that. Anytime they say food, I'm there. Don't act as though you're not too. Jeez. Cord, I can't believe you said that. All right, AGM's coming up, and June the 7th, 7 p.m. Membership is required if you want to do any voting, if there's any to be done. I see a note here on my paper, Mother Day gifts. I think that's every day, obviously. So mothers expect a gift sometime. No, I'm goofing around. I really do need to straighten out. It's kind of hard. It's very, very difficult. There's some gifts for mothers. I see it on my paper. Is that correct?
I think that was from last week.
What are they giving me last week's announcements for? What? What's going on? I don't believe it. Give me papers that are... So I'm reading last week's announcements, so... Okay.
Yeah,
I think it's mothers you get taken out for dinner today. Yeah. Well, every woman gets that, doesn't she? Okay. Anne Marie is looking for some testimonies, looking for people with testimonies that she could record and place on the radio station. They're pre-recorded, so you're not sitting there, you know, sweating bullets as you're on the air. You know, that's not going to happen, but... is Anne Marie, do I see, where is Anne Marie? Anne Marie, she's her arm twister. If you put your hand up, anybody that would like to give a testimony, she would really like it if you could meet with her. Awesome. I think there's a song and some fellowship that you're, circle around and greet somebody you've met once before, maybe twice before, or maybe never before. And anyway, there you go. That's the announcements. God bless you.
Lift up your hands, oh yeah, sing while you everlasting roar. Lift up your hands, oh yeah, sing while you everlasting roar. Let the King of glory may come in. Let the King of glory may come in. Let the King of up from the dead, he ascends through every rank of heavenly power. Let him prepare the highest place, throw wide the everlasting doors. Let the King of glory may come in. 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 With trumpet blast and shouts of joy, water and tree, the risen King, their angel choir, come line the way, throw wide the gate and welcome him. Oh, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may come in, that the King of glory may come in.
That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may. Oh, that the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in. That the King of glory may come in.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning and welcome. Said that already, but I'm going to say it again. So happy that that you're with us. You decided to join us, maybe for the first time today. We are happy you're here. And just to know, to let you know that Pastor David is checking on everything. He texted me, and I still messed up. So it was. Poor Gord, I gave him last week's announcements. So, Pastor David, if you're listening, please forgive me. yeah, how has your week been? What do you want to talk about? Well, I'm going to tell you something about myself. Not all of you would know this. I was born into a Roman Catholic family. And any ex-Catholics out there? Woo! Yeah. Good to be free. Come on, preach it. Well, as such, I grew up into a family that had a lot of idols, statues. You know, and as a child, I can remember when we stayed over at Nono and Nana's place, and as a small child, I was about, you know, maybe 7 or 8, and they laid me down to sleep in one of the rooms, and it was full of these statues. They used to call them Mary, Joseph, and all the saints. And I can remember as a kid being in the room, and it didn't matter where I was, that statue was looking at me. Do you think I could sleep? Used to give me nightmares. Yeah. You know, then I got saved.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
I became a born-again believer.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. And they didn't understand, really. They thought, what is that a cult? You know, and I said, no, this is the church. You know, they said, what are you talking about? The church is the Catholic Church. I said, no, it's not. That's not to say there aren't believers in the Catholic Church. Hear me now. Well, my parents decided to go to Italy for a trip. They went to Rome. Came back and, you know, blessed my parents' heart. They brought me a gift. They brought me a statue. Not just any statue. It's a statue of a wolf suckling 2 children. So now, if anyone knows about Rome, supposedly, part of their mythology is that it was founded by Romulus and Remus, and they were raised by wolves. So I had that statue. Thank you very much. I smashed it with a hammer. But you know, as a believer, we can look at these things. They're obvious. idolatry and idols in our lives, those things are obvious. You know, and I can remember as I was walking in sanctification and growing in discipleship in the Lord Jesus Christ, that some of them weren't so obvious. But the cry of my heart was, "Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Test me. See if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
Yes.
Constantly, I wanted to know from the Holy Spirit, what is an idol in my life? But you know, as time went on, that flame for righteousness started to get to a flicker. And I started to forget, started to make excuses. Can you relate to that a little bit? Recently, while I was preparing this sermon, I got this picture, and it was this picture that I saw in my parents' photo album. And it's a picture of me, and I was very overweight. And my dad would always say, "Oh, he's not fat, he's husky." And it's this picture of me with my shirt off. I don't know why. I'm wearing these pants that are too tight. And it's a family picture, and I'm sitting there like this, stomach out to here. And I was miserable. Because you know why? Because I was being ruled. I was a slave to potato chips and chocolate sandwiches. And as I thought of that picture, I thought, wow, you know, I don't think thank God I've been delivered from all that stuff. But you know what? I thought about recently when my family and I went to Edmonton, and we went, we had a day in the mall, and we went water sliding and everything like that. Well, I made a reservation, or Sylvia made a reservation, for Yang Ming Chinese buffet. And do you know that was the only thing I could think of? And I started to become a tyrant, a time tyrant. And it was just like, I was micromanaging the kids. It was like, okay, we have to go here, we have to go here, and we have to get there, and we have to go, and we have to be on time for our Chinese food, okay? Yeah, it was okay. We almost didn't go in there. It was in a seedy place of town, part of town. And
oh, no, that place is really good. I know what you mean, actually.
I was expecting, you know what? It was a bit of a letdown, to tell you the truth. But always is, you know?
Yeah.
Always is afterwards.
Yeah.
This echoed something my dad used to say. And I love my dad. I love my parents. I'm not trying to disrespect them by talking about these things. We used to say this all the time in front of company. Food is the most important thing in life. You know, that's an Italian thing. I mean, it's other cultures would think that too, right? But then I thought of this when Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Amen. Let's look at Psalm 24 together. I'll just read it through here. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." I'm reading from the NIV. "The world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and he established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol." Now, other versions might not say idol, but the NIV says that, and I think it's the best translation regarding this. "Or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from their God, their Savior. Such is the generation for those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you ancient doors." Other versions should say everlasting doors. That's a better translation. Everlasting doors. that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Or they said earlier, Hosanna. Hosanna. Save now. May the presence of God, may His word touch lives today, that we say we shall see salvation in His house today. Hallelujah. So you're getting excited, Pastor Raph. Well, yeah, I am. So this is a psalm of David. And this is a liturgy. Someone was talking about liturgy recently about the Catholic Church. And, you know, the Catholic Church has these liturgies. The Anglican Church has the liturgy. There's nice things about liturgy. They're not the end-all be-all. But in the psalm, we have a liturgy. It's an order of service, in a sense, right? And what it was to commemorate was the ark. The ark being held in procession, returning from war. Okay? So we know Yahweh is a warrior. He would go before His people. The priest would bring the ark, and He would lead His people to battle and victory over the heathen nations, and they would be destroyed. When they were obedient to God, they had victory. When there was sin in the camp, not victory, defeat, yeah. Right? Beautiful picture. This is a call for worshipers that come to the holy city of Jerusalem to prepare their hearts to come into the temple of God. The temple of God was a holy place. You know, this was a liturgy to remind people. You're coming before a holy God. What does it say? Be holy as I am holy. So you don't approach Almighty God with regarding sin in your life. The Hebrew, actually, the way that you can describe that is actually, the Hebrew talks about nursing an appetite that's connected with idolatry. Nursing an appetite for something other than God. It starts off with an affirmation of the creative power and lordship and sovereignty of God Almighty. It's Bereshit Elohim Bara ha'aretz ve'hashamam ha'shamayim ve'ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. So why is this being said? Why do the people have to be reminded of who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the owner of all creation? Why? Well, because this procession was people coming to Jerusalem from other lands. They were pilgrims. Okay, so yes, it was the Lord. The ark coming and the people of God following, but also pilgrims were coming to worship from faraway lands. Okay, heathen lands, and maybe it was a long trip, and maybe, just maybe, they might have been exposed to the idolatry of the land, the ideas, the worldviews. The foods, the culture. Okay? So this, believe it or not, is what the scholars would call a polemic, or actually a declaration of God's sovereignty, that He is creator, in the face of all the stories, all the myths of that day. There's this war going on that has been going on right from the beginning. It started with the I wills, if you will. The fallen angel Lucifer, what did he say? He said, this is a summary of what he said. I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was the original rebellious statement of idolatry and self-worship, right? Right. And then later on, speaking on behalf of Satan, the serpent said to Eve at the garden, "You will be like God." As a result, what happened was a partnership between man and Satan to steal glory from God Almighty as creator and as sovereign ruler through the mythology, through the worldviews, through these other religions. It was that attempt to take the glory away from God. This psalm is a reminder to the worshipers that are coming to the temple of God. Prepare your hearts. You've been in the muck. You might have been corrupted as you go. You don't realize it. Come on, people. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Praise God. There's been this partnership. Do you remember in the altercation between Pharaoh and Moses? Pharaoh tried to assert that he was God, right? God over the Egyptian gods, or gods alongside, a God alongside the Egyptian gods. God over God's people. He had them in slavery, right? And that essentially is what idol worship is, slavery. We'll get back to that. Exodus 9:29 says, Moses replied, "I've gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so you will know that the earth is the Lord's." You know, yes, it's true that Pharaoh's magicians could imitate some of the miraculous acts, but none of the acts that had to do with the weather. None of those things, because they belong to God. He created them. Hallelujah. He is the one who made them. And what happened to Pharaoh? Utterly humiliated. His armies vanquished into the sea, the place of the grave. But we know this problem carried on into the New Testament. This idea of gods, this idea of leaders declaring their sovereignty, challenging God's sovereignty, right? We think about, you know, maybe your kids that studied Greek mythology had to study it in school. Think about Zeus, the Greek god, claiming to be God of gods, right? The Roman emperors also claimed to be gods as well, right? So this has gone on throughout history, even today, right? But the scripture says in Exodus, chapter 20, 3-6. "You shall not make for yourself an image or form of anything in heaven or above the earth or beneath the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, my question is, you may think, okay, Pastor Raph, that's Old Testament. Has that changed, do you think? No. How do we know that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this, and he was summarizing, or just saying in a different way, this same thing I just read to you in Exodus, but this was echoing Deuteronomy, which is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, O the Lord your God is one." Shema Israel. Elohim Eloheinu, Hu Echad in the Hebrew. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then the second one was, Love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. It's the same. No idolatry in the Old Testament, no idolatry for the New Testament church. The same. And you're thinking, yeah, okay, you know, I know this. We do know this. We do know it. The problem is when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we don't want to listen to it. Sometimes we want to run away from the truth. And I'm talking we, not you, not just me, we, us. See, this idea of what we see in Psalm 24, when the Lord says he established the earth on he established and founded on the seas and established on the waters. This, the myth that was around at that time came from the Mesopotamians. And it was, they declared Marduk, their god, to be the creator. And what the myth was, is it talked about these gods of, that brought chaos, okay? The waters, were Yam and Nahar. And these waters brought chaos. So this was the myth, okay? But God is saying, no, he established the waters. He subdued the waters in creation. There is no one greater than God. There is no one that could create. So this is the statement that's being said, okay? Because the people of God going through these pagan lands would have heard these types of stories, and maybe it affected their thinking. Maybe it affected their practice before they came to worship in the house of God. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You know, we think about our own age, our own time here. We get bombarded by things daily that challenge the sovereignty of God every day. And if we think that it doesn't affect us, we need to think again. It can. It can. I can remember, you know, going to college, I had a strong faith in Jesus Christ. I took a psychology course. They crammed Darwinism down our throats. Every single day I had to read about it. I had to write papers on it. You know, natural selection. I read a book. It said natural selection could create, over long periods of time, a brand new species. Hey, that's God. That's natural selection is not God. God is God. And that was the thing that shook me out of that. It's like, what are they talking about? That's not even possible. They're giving divine powers to a theory. But you know, you hear it long enough and you start to wonder. You think, hey, wait a second. I can remember wrestling with these things until I heard that. Other things that I didn't have an answer for. You know, Diana, she has a show that is going to be about Genesis. Listen to it. You know, we need to be prepared. We need to be able to be convinced ourselves. If you're struggling and you don't believe that God is the creator of the earth and created you and me without evolution, hey, what's happening? That's going to affect everything. Okay, there are a lot of scholars that believe Genesis is foundational to the whole Bible. You know what? I agree with that. It's true. If you don't believe Genesis, how are you going to believe Revelation?
Yeah, come on.
There are so many theories right now. You know, I read a good one, interesting one, a weird one. Okay? So this is coming out of scientists from NASA. Okay? This is 2021. Scientists speculate that biological matter, alien bacteria, may have proliferated across the cosmos itself, transported from planet to planet on wayward lumps of rock or ice. This idea, known as, I apologize now for the word, panspermia, it carries profound implication, which causes them to believe that life on Earth may not have originated on our planet. These so-called alien colonizers are responsible for the creation of life. That's a myth. That is a myth. That's not science. So in other words, they're trying to say the incredible complexities of creation, of the animal world, of the physical world, of you and I are the product of alien bacteria that crash-landed on an asteroid? It does. Well, I tell you where that does connect to. The father of lies. That's where that comes from. Back to the beginning. Listen to Diana's show. I think it's going to be good. I really do. I think we need to, as the people of God, we need to be about the business of recognizing God's sovereignty. And if we're unsure, we need to be sure. We need to do what it takes to study, you know, to learn, you know, because people aren't always convinced, and you're going to get into these types of conversations. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear in a false god. See, the problem with idolatry is that it makes you a slave, as I said. And, you know, one of the gods from these myths was named Baal. Okay, he was a Canaanite god, right? Baal in the Hebrew means master. It also means husband. Okay? So this god, the Canaanite god called Baal, wants people to be enslaved to him, be their master. But see, God calls idolatry adultery. Because God wants to be not their master, but their husband. This is talking about Israel, right? Israel is supposed to be a wife to God. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen. Right? He is our husband, our Baal. Yes. Right? Yeah. But when you worship another god, that becomes your husband. The thing about adultery is what it does is it hardens the heart. So that's why it's such a struggle for when people are involved, when adultery happens in a marriage, is because the heart hardens towards one another. Like, originally the one who is committing adultery, that's the hard heart. But then to reconcile, then the other partner, maybe, their heart gets hard because of the pain they endured. But you know what it says in the scriptures? It says we become like what we worship. So you worship a statue made of gold or silver or stone or clay, you become like that thing. A cold-hearted item. Your heart gets hardened towards God. God is looking for a soft heart, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. You don't want the things of God when you're worshiping idols. When there's adultery in a marriage, the husband or the wife, whoever it is, doesn't want to be near their partner. That's what idolatry does in the relationship between God and his people. So, what are you saying then, Pastor Raph? If you worship donuts, then you become a donut? Sort of. No, I don't worship donuts. But you certainly, if you have a hard time with food, if you look to food to meet your need, you're going to start to look like your needs have been met yeah. a lot. Psalm 115:48 says, "But their idols are gold and silver made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes that cannot see. They have ears that cannot hear, noses that cannot smell. They have hands but they cannot feel, feet that cannot walk, nor can they utter sounds with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so those who trust in them." It hardens the heart. This is a definition of idolatry. whatever your heart clings to, relies on for ultimate security. That is your God, an idol, whatever claims the loyalty that belongs to God alone. Christopher Wright said this, who wrote The Mission of God. Although gods and idols are something in the world, they are nothing. I'll say it again. They are nothing. They are useless vanity. Amen. In comparison to the living God. Can I hear a hallelujah out there? While gods and idols are the implements of or gateways to the world of the demonic, it is exactly that. The overwhelming verdict of Scripture is that they are the work of human hands, whether it's in here, or in your hand. Constructs of our own fallen nature and rebellious imagination. It's rebellion. It's rebellion. Trusting in something other than God. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to anyone or my praise to idols. You know, one of the things that this procession I was talking about in the psalm, they're coming, they're reaching the temple of God. And as they do, they come across these pools. Okay? What do you think the pools were for? Anyone? Washing? Yeah, washing. Why? Yes, that's right. Cleansing, right? According to the law of God, they would go and they would wash. Okay? It was called a mikvah. Okay? And it was in response to the commandment. And it was, if conviction came upon your heart, and it's like, I was in Babylon. I was around those crazy gods. Come to the temple. Oh, here's the bath. You know, the Holy Spirit acting on their hearts. Plunging into the water. Because they want to be holy before God. Okay, now we don't have to do that. Now you guys don't have to find, like, go into the river nearby and, you know, wash before you come to church. Right? I'll tell you why. You should know why. Because of the blood of Christ. Yeah. Do you remember the wedding in Cana, the miracle, the first miracle that the Lord did in that book? What did Jesus do? He turned water into wine, correct? You know what that water was? It was water for ritual purification. Okay? Because this is a foreshadowing of what the Lord was going to do in order for our purification. It was not going to be purification by ritual bathing. It was by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for you and I. This foreshadows that. It was wine. It was beautiful tasting to the people. What a beautiful taste for us to be set free, to be cleansed from the idolatry that we have in our lives. Amen? What a beautiful foreshadow. Hallelujah. Because it says in 1 John 1:9-10, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. Hey, I'm not saying look for something that's not there. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit speaks to you loudly or quietly, respond. Come to that precious blood of the Lamb. Before you come to worship. And not just in this house. We're not bound by this. This is not an Old Testament temple that we're in here right now. Right? Who's the temple? You guys. Right? See, these things that you read in the Old Testament, they're in the New Testament as well. God says, be holy for I am holy. It's the same. When we come to worship God Almighty who is holy, He wants His people to be holy. And this is the thing, because we're talking about, and it was said earlier, presence. Okay? So we look at the last part of the psalm, and it says, Be lifted up, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Well, do you think that that temple could contain the presence of Almighty God?
No.
No. No. But see, we are the New Testament church. And yes, we want the presence of God in this church, but what we want more than that is His presence in each one of you. His cleansed temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We want you to respond to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God is speaking to you and me.
Amen.
And to lay down the idols that are there.
Yes.
The idols that we are ashamed of. Or perhaps, again, like I said, don't even know about. But be willing to listen to the Spirit of God in your life. And to be cleansed. So, that the King of glory may come in. And that when we gather as temples, we form a big temple. This is what the Word of God says. It says in Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. And the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him too, you're being built together to become the dwelling place which God lives in by His Spirit. Are you hearing me, church? This is a call for repentance. This is a call for allow the Spirit of God to work in your life and in my life to lay down these things that perhaps are master over us. See, in John chapter 4, Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman. And do you know anything about the Samaritans? A little bit, maybe? Well, they were idolaters par excellence. Okay? They really were. Because in the division of the kingdom of Israel between Judah and Israel, there were two kings. And the one king decided to revamp the whole worship system. And instead of bringing everyone to Jerusalem, they went to Samaria. And that was the place of worship. But it was a perverted worship. It was idolatrous and it was pagan, in fact. So the history of the Samaritan woman was not only did she have five wives and she was sinful and all that stuff, but her heritage was false worship. So that's why she was confused about, you know, where are we supposed to worship? Who are we supposed to worship? And Jesus, what did Jesus do? He came and He corrected her understanding of what worship meant. Correct? He said, a time is coming where you worship the Father, not on this mountain or the mountain in Jerusalem, but you worship Him in spirit and in truth. To know who He is. To recognize He is the Savior. To recognize He is the Creator. To recognize He is the one that's worthy of all worship. No one else.
Amen.
Right? And what happened? Well, she was like, whoa, this guy's a prophet. And she ran. And do you know that what she did after that was actually something in the Hebrew called ana, or to announce, or to talk about. And what that meant was she went and shared the gospel to her village, and that was her act of worship.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Well, as a spiritual awakening, or revival happened in Sychar, the very town that she was from.
Wow.
Right? They all came and they stayed with Jesus for 3 days.
Amazing.
It was all about worship. It was all about correcting who God is in her mind, in our minds. Right? It's crucial. It's crucial. Because if we can have and grasp something like this, we have revival in our own lives.
Yes.
Right? And we come together as a church. You have a revived life. We come together. And what happens?
Yeah.
The presence of God.
Amen.
And the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Right? Because that's what happened. The kingdom came there.
Mm-hmm.
When the church of God is functioning in freedom,
mm-hmm.
worshiping God who deserves all glory, honor, and praise, Him alone,
amen.
We see a revived church.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. It's hard, though, because, again, we can ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can say it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So church, I pray that you hear this word today. I pray that you would respond, that you would not just be hearers, but that you'd be doers. And that we all would come before the throne of grace. Call out to God. And maybe you don't need to, but you know what? Maybe you need to pray for someone that you know that is struggling in these things. Pastor Gord led this study on Wednesday. And one of the things that was out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, talks about speaking the oracles of God, the very words of God. I pray that I was obedient to what the Lord called me to preach today.
Yes.
And I pray that your life is different and changed as a result. But it's in His hands, and it's up to you to respond to His word.
Yes.
Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you and praise you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you that you have called us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you would speak even deeper into our spirit this morning, that, Lord, if you're calling us to respond in some way, I pray that we would respond. If anyone right now, just your eyes are closed as we're praying together, if you just feel that the Lord has touched your heart in some way regarding this message, just lift up your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. And if you're not sure, just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what He wants to do this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking and you have spoken. I pray for your church. We are to be the bride, spotless and ready, where you are our husband, the husband of the church, Lord Jesus. And as difficult as that may be to understand to the natural mind, it's profound at the same time. And so we pray that your church would be the spotless bride that we're called to be in this day, in this time. Do your work in our midst, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be.
My heart, cleanse me from my sin.
Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. Oh, my.
heart's one desire. Oh, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart. Set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master. Ready to do your will.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Precious brothers and sisters, if there's anyone that would like prayer, I'll be here. I'd love to pray with you. Anything at all that I can minister in some way and be a blessing to you. Be blessed in the Lord. Have a wonderful week. And we just give all glory and honor to Him. Let's have a clap offering for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let's take somebody's hand, say hi, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us and listening to this service. We hope you join us next Sunday. Have a blessed day.